God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. All right, our next song is His Eyes on the Sparrow. Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Let not your heart be troubled. His tender words I hear, and resting on his goodness, I lose my doubt and fear. Though by the path he leadeth, but one step I may see. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Whenever I am tempted, whenever clouds arise, when songs give place to sighing, when hope within me dies, I draw the closer to him. From care he sets me free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. And I know he watches me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right. My Savior's love. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. For me it was in the garden, he prayed not my will but thine. He had no tears for his own griefs, but sweat drops of blood for mine. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He took my sins and my sorrows, he made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. Oh, how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. When he with the ransomed in glory, his face I at last shall see. 'Twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. All right, our final song this morning will be Oh, How He Loves You and Me. Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life, what more could he give? Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. Jesus to Calvary did go, his love for sinners to show. What he did there brought hope from despair. Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Happy birthdays.
Let's see here. Our first birthday is today, 8/23. That is Sunday, 8/23, and that is Deb Borgman. So, Deb Borgman, happy birthday to you, dear. Today's her birthday. All right, way to go, Deb. And then 8/29, so that's the 29th of August. Joe Rudell's going to have a birthday. Joe Rudell, all right. So, let's sing him some happy birthday. Here we go.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Amen. All right. Thank you very much. You're going to give her that mic?
Yeah.
Okay. You got a mic to give her. Okay. Amen. All right. Well, we've got a special treat for you this morning. Miss Terry Kimball is going to be speaking about her ministry trip up to New York City. And she was at the Samaritan's Purse tent complex. And I'll let her tell you the dates and all the stuff. But after she got back, me and Terry probably had, I don't know, hour and 10 minute conversation about everything that transpired. And I thought it would really be beneficial if you guys as a congregation heard the testimony of what went on up there in New York City at Samaritan's Purse. So with that said, Miss Terry's going to be speaking to you right here. Amen? So give her a warm New Hope Baptist Church welcome. Amen? Amen. All right. Very good. Thank you, Miss Terry. It's all yours, dear.
Good morning. I sure miss everyone. I just wanted to tell you guys thank you so much for your prayers for me when I went to New York. I could not have done this without your prayers. I knew that it was ordered of God for me to go. It kind of didn't make sense at all for me to go. I was in the middle of grad school and working full time, and then COVID hit in March for New York, and the Mount Sinai Hospital System needed help. So Franklin Graham, our director, he felt like it was God's will for us to go. So I belong to what's called the Disaster Assistance Response Team, and we respond to natural outbreaks and disasters and even times of war, and we're made up of doctors, nurses, physicians, that of all different type of specialties, and we respond with a field hospital, emergency field hospital. So they opened up a national emergency field hospital in the middle of Central Park. It consisted of maybe 10 or 12 tents. We had 6 wards and 2 critical care units, one ICU and one was a step-down unit. And so we just helped to the Mount Sinai to with their overload in patient care, and it was a wonderful experience. And in just a minute, there'll be a video shown, and as I watch this video over and over, I just feel like I'm there again, and all the feelings come back when I'm walking down the. I worked at night, and I'm a daytime nurse, so all the feelings just kind of come back every time I watch it. And so you'll hear a physician talking, and you'll see nurses walking down the dark sidewalks at night, and that's exactly what I did. Here's the video.
I am a night physician. At night, there are 3 of us, and I'm one of them. So I take care of patients overnight and just care and tend to their medical needs, spiritual too. I'm not used to working at night, so night shifts require you to be alert.
The first part of the night gets kind of busy. Takes a while to assess everybody and get their meds and get them settled in. And then the middle of the night, things can get kind of quiet and calm.
You don't have the daytime hustle, so you can really settle in and get to understand patients and meet them and interact with them in a good way.
A lot of times at night is when the fears and anxieties overwhelm them. And so being able to be there in those moments and talk with them has been so rewarding.
I aim to provide rest and comfort and Jesus to the people.
We have lost some. Family can't be in here with them, but glad to be here for them in those moments. We get to be the family in those times. And just being able to kneel down beside their beds, just hold their hand. People are so afraid, and there's so much distancing happening, but because of the gear that we wear, we have complete freedom to be right in there and hold their hand.
I feel protected. He called me to do this work. I can't explain it any other way. I'm not afraid of it in there. I have never felt closer to the Lord in all my life than being in there.
I think often of how Jesus washed the disciples' feet. A lot of what I'm doing is emptying urinals and fluffing pillows and providing comfort in just small ways. And I feel like that is washing people's feet as Jesus did. And it's a privilege and an honor to be able to follow in Christ's example
if we can do just a little bit of that in his name, sign me up for it again and again and again.
So yes, that's basically what I said. Just sign me up again and again. I would do it over again. And you might ask, well, why did you go? And you know, I sought counsel before I went. And one special pastor friend of mine said, when I was praying about it, he just said, Terry, what would take the most faith? Where would Christ be more glorified? And what would advance his kingdom more? Those are the things that you need to think about. And Dr. Tomlinson, head of Rescue Hope Missions, he told me, I said, this is just so crazy for me to do this. And he said, well, sometimes God asks us to do crazy things. And I just prayed about it, and I just felt like the Lord was wanting me to go. And I kept thinking, you know, if Jesus was on this earth, and there was a need like that, where would he go? He would go where the greatest need was. He would go where it's the darkest and where it's the hardest. I really feel like he would do that. And I just felt like that's what God would have me to do. So how did God move? Supernaturally, the power of God was so evident to me the whole time I was there. I was there for almost a month. Worked every day, and there were 12-hour shifts. And so it was very physically hard, emotionally hard. We wore PPE. You'll see in the slides in a minute. I had boots on. I had a full bodysuit, double gloves, a mask, and a hairnet, and this awful headpiece that was not very comfortable. And those tents were very, very hot because it was, you know, still cool, and we needed to keep the patients warm. So we had a hot zone and a cool zone, and in the hot zone that's where the patients were. And so we were in the hot zone, we couldn't take any breaks, we couldn't eat or drink anything because we couldn't break our protection barrier with our PPE. And so we would go many, many hours without anything to eat or drink or go to the restroom. So sometimes that was hard, but the Lord just wrapped me up in his arms and I could feel his presence, and it was just supernatural. And one of the patients that stands out to me, many, many patients came to know the Lord. But our goal there was to just be the hands and feet of Jesus and to relieve suffering. And these patients that came to us all had COVID, all were very sick. And one man that came to us, you will see him on the slides. His name was Giovanni. And Giovanni became quickly the favorite to all the patients. He almost died, and then he quickly got better, and he was just so happy. And then when questioned about his salvation, he just said that something miraculously happened to him while he was in the tents. And we asked them, well, what happened? And he said, well, whenever you were praying for me, someone was praying for me, they put their hand on my back, and I just felt the presence of the Lord. And so we were thinking, they were telling me about that, and I thought, well, me being the Baptist that I am, I wanted to be convinced a little bit more. So one day I went to the Billy Graham chaplains, and I said, y'all pray for me tonight. I want an opportunity to go talk to Giovanni and to really talk to him and ask him about his salvation. Because, you know, he talks about this religious experience, but I'm not for sure what he's talking about. And so I did. I sat down with him and I shared with him. And as I was sharing with him, he said, Terry, I'm going to tell you something that I've not told anyone since I've been here. He said, when I was on my stomach, that's what we would do. We would put them on their stomach, and that's called the prone position, and that helped the patients breathe better, believe it or not, with COVID. That's a particular thing that we did. And Nurse Joey was putting his hands on my back. He said, I felt the presence of the Lord. And he said, before I came here, I was suicidal. I was not living right. And my son, my adult son, was not living right. And I was very angry. And I got in a really big fight with him. And I yelled, and I just yelled up at God. And I said, God, why don't you just kill me? And he said, and then 3 days later, I got COVID. He said, so I knew that God was, you know, trying to talk to me. He says, and then when I was laying down on my stomach, he said, I knew that I was dying. And we, the team, thought that he was dying. He said, but when Joey put his hand on my back, I just said in my heart, Lord, I can't do it my way anymore. I surrender. I'll do it your way. And again, me and my Baptist self, I was just a little bit skeptical. And so I went down the Romans road with him anyway. And I talked to him when I got to the 2 Corinthians 5:17, where it says, if any man be in a Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I said, Giovanni, do you think that happened to you? Do you think that when you put your faith in Christ, that your life changed? And he said, absolutely. He said, here I am in this tent. I have COVID. And I've never been happier in all my life. You guys are angels. I just feel the presence of God here. And yes, I do believe that I came to know the Lord. There's many stories similar to Giovanni's. One time that I saw God work was this black female that was in her 50s came to us. And she was in the step-down unit. And that's a pretty serious condition when they come there. It's when they need the CPAP. And she wasn't tolerating the CPAP very well. She would get really anxious, as a lot of people do when they have this mask on their face, pushing oxygen in their lungs. It's very difficult for some. And she would just keep raising up, and yanking off her mask and really anxious. And she needed to keep the mask on because, you know, that's the only way she was going to get better. And I remember just coming beside her bed and holding her hand and stroking her arm and playing Christian music in her ear. And she quickly calmed down until she finally went to sleep. And I was able to be at her side for 30 minutes to an hour. And it was just one of those many times that I just felt like God was just using me just to be a comfort to people. And I'll be honest, that was the most wonderful feeling to know that I was there, you know, making a difference in someone's life. Unfortunately, this lady did not get better. She did have to go to the CCU, and she was intubated and then eventually passed away. And talking with her family and then talking with her, she was a Christian. She knew the Lord. And so we were we were there to be a blessing to her. But I would lie to you if I tell you that that wasn't hard. The second day that I was there, I was in the step-down unit. There was about 12 patients. And I asked the physician, I said, so tell me, what's the course of this disease? How long will these people be sick? How long do you expect them? And he said, Terry, most of what you see here, most of the people you see in this tent will pass away. And I remember thinking, no, that can't happen. I'm talking to these people. I'm helping them drink. I'm helping them get up and go to the restroom. I'm helping them. I'm talking to them. I'm talking to their family. And sure enough, that's how bad COVID hit in New York. They were really sick by the time they got to us. And so what we did for many of them, it just wasn't enough. It was almost too late. They would degress rapidly, and they would die. I would say on an average in the step-down unit, about 70% of the patients would die that were being placed on CPAP. Over in CCU, it would be more like 90% that passed away. So one of the things that we did was the chaplains would if someone would talk about they would want to be prayed for, we would invite the Billy Graham Association chaplains to come in and talk to them. And one particular lady that happened to, and she was Spanish speaking, and so they came in and talked to her for a long, long time, and she accepted Christ, and they gave her a Spanish Bible, and she was so excited to have that Bible, but she too quickly over a few days got worse. And when they were transferring her to the CCU bed, she was looking around frantically because she couldn't find her Bible that was given to her, and she was just frantically looking for it, and we were all scavenging around trying to find it from transferring her from one tent to another. And finally, someone did find it, and she just grabbed on to that Bible and just held it and held it like it was so precious to her. And it just really touched my heart about how we can take for granted God's word so much. And to her, it was the most precious thing that she had at that moment. And we just sat around and we prayed for her. And we said, Lord, please let this heal this lady. She just came to know you. Please, if it be your will, heal her so that she can live for you. And unfortunately, a few days later, she too passed away. And it was hard on us, but we were so grateful that we were there with her and that she came to know the Lord in a special way. One more thing that you'll see on the show, on the slides, is you'll see a little man in a wheelchair. He was a Russian artist who came from Russia to show his artist work at the Guggenheim, I think I forget how to pronounce it properly, but it's a famous art museum, and Guggenheim, and anyway, he got COVID, and he was our very last patient that we discharged, and he's on there. So I got to take care of so many different people from all over the world, and so many special people. Another thing, slide that you're going to see is we had I don't know if you heard on the news, there was some protesters against Samaritan's Purse that didn't seem to think that we needed to be there. There was a lot of rumors spread that weren't actually true either. And we had one particular gentleman that represented an unchristian group that protested and got on the campus, and they had to be escorted out. So those are the things that we kind of dealt with, but we just didn't let it get us down. We knew that the Lord was there with us, and we're just thankful there to be the hands and feet of Jesus. That was our whole purpose, is just to love on these people, to give them comfort, to be a blessing to the Mount Sinai health system, and just to show people the love of Christ. So you want to go ahead and show the slides? There's me in my wonderful PPE. And that's about how we saw. It was kind of real cloudy because that was another challenge, because we couldn't see very well through the glass shields and our glasses. And so to start IVs or do procedures sometimes was a challenge. Okay, the next one. That's a sky view of the tents. Looks against part of the skyscrapers in the background. We have had a... all kinds of tents with, we had a lounge for the staff, a nice size kitchen that was, all our food was donated. We had so much food donated to us. Okay, go ahead, the next one. What was so wonderful about this group was we prayed before every shift and after shift, and just prayed for our patients specifically. Just a wonderful opportunity to be around so many strong Christians that were there because the Lord had called them there. And we asked for the power of God, and we asked that God would just give us strength and to be a blessing to these people and to give us wisdom with our medical training on how to treat these patients effectively. Okay, next one. Now, that's the one time that I did not have my PPE on, and nobody even recognized me because I Okay, go ahead on the next one. This is me in my gear. We have our boots on, our bodysuit. I didn't have my gloves on yet. And then I had all the masks on. About to go into the hot zone. Okay, go ahead. This is the sky view. I had never been to New York City before, so it was rather a treat for me to be there. And I think it's beautiful the way the tents look against the skyline. Many, many people there that were sick in those buildings. They were just on top of one another, so the percentage of COVID was very, very high. There was many, many people there sick. Go ahead. You can turn it now. I think that's a pretty view of the nighttime. It was really nice at night, the light shining in the background. Okay, go ahead. There's Giovanni with a group of the day nurses there. He befriended all of us. He was kind of like our hero patient. And, a lot of them we're still in contact with Giovanni even to this day. Okay, go ahead. We just loved our patients. Each one was just so precious. We fell in love with them. It was hard when we lost some. Giovanni was such a blessing. We were so thankful that he did well. Okay. This is Giovanni leaving. They got to ring the cowbell as they left when they were discharged. And he has a Bible in his hand that was given to him by the Billy Graham Association. And he was reading. It was a big celebration that day. Everybody comes out of the tent and claps, and it's just a big deal. Go ahead. That's him. He was so excited. He was so excited in his new faith. Yeah. It's just another picture of him. These are his pictures that he posted on Facebook. That's a picture that he posted. He said that we were like angels to him, and he posted that. I thought that was kind of sweet. And this is a picture of a lady that left that she was elderly, and she beat it. And she was our next to the last patient to leave, and we would take videos of each one, and some news people would be there to take pictures and put it in the newspaper. And she was we gave her some flowers, and she's waving at everybody. And this is the Russian artist, and he was tickled because we all learned to say we love you in Russian, which is very difficult, by the way. And he, it meant so much to him that we did that. He was just waving and crying. They all cried when they left. Everybody was. This is the PPE tent. When we would walk in, we'd put on the shield and our boots. I was just showing you what it was like. How Samaritan's Purse is, they have it down as far as PPE goes and dealing with infectious diseases. They treat Ebola victims, so they've done it for many, many years with all types of infectious diseases, and so their guidelines are so strict that none of us, not one person of the healthcare workers, got contracted COVID. That's just my little area that I would go to every shift and start getting my gear on. And the little line there, where it has notice there, beyond that is the hot zone. So you had to be completely geared up before you went over the line. It's just a picture inside the tent of some workers. This is the the gentleman that was escorted off the property because they protested and didn't seem to think that the crosses were offensive to them. And since Billy Graham had a stance on different biblical issues that they disagreed with, they would protest in that. But the people of New York stood behind us. They were right there with us, and they would tell us everywhere we went, thank you, thank you, thank you for coming and helping our city. Some more pictures of the tent. You'll notice that this is a even though it's a tent, the hospital is immaculate. It's very clean, and it's set up just like a regular ICU. We have everything that we need to take care of these patients in a critical care setting. Okay. There's some more people. Before every shift, we would have devotions. Those were wonderful times. We would sing and pray. It was wonderful. And sometimes I think that just holding their hand and just being there was our best medicine. And this is our president, Franklin Graham, as he's he delivered a speech from the field hospital area. And that's it. So I just wanted to share some statistics that I have. In the field hospital, we closed in May 5th, and through that time, with our partnership with the Mount Sinai Health System, we treated 335 coronavirus patients, we had a total of 251 disaster relief specialists, including nurses, technicians, doctors, and all of that. Before I go, I just wanted to share why do people go on mission trips? Why would I want to go on a mission trip? And I think God really showed me some things. I think that the reason I love to go on trips and why this means so much to me is because, you know, when you're on, I don't know if you've ever been on one, but you'll know what I'm talking about if you have, is that when we go on a mission trip, we are who we want to be. We are doing what we basically were designed to do, and that's to preach the gospel and to be a blessing to those in need. We're focused on the Lord. We have a burden for the lost. We're zoomed into. We're not distracted by our jobs and other things, and so we're more determined to reach others, and we lose sight of ourselves. We keep the sight on the end goal, and that is the Great Commission and to reach others. And we see that the fields are ripe and that the people are in such need. Well, after we went on deployment, they always call us, the chaplains call us to do a debriefing. And someone called me and asked me, so what are you going to be doing different from here forward? And it just struck me that, you know, why does it have to be different? Every day I go to work and there's lost people everywhere. When I get aggravated at my coworkers for doing wrong or being doing things that are harmful to others, I shouldn't get angry. I should remember that they're in need of a Savior, or they need the Lord to be in their lives. I need to be focused on that everywhere I go is a mission field. It shouldn't be any different when we're on a mission field and then when we're at home. We get so distracted on the things of the world, and we really shouldn't. We should be focused on the gospel at all times. The Lord's coming back. And, you know, the people around us, they may not have COVID, but they have a greatest disease of all, and it's sin. And they need a Savior. They need medical help in their soul. They need Jesus that only He can fill. And so that's what I've learned with this trip. The Lord convicted me about how I just need to be more in tune to the hearts of people around me. And how I felt the Holy Spirit every day guide me and direct my steps. I should be able to walk with the Lord in so much, even in my daily work here. And I'm just very, very grateful. And I'm humbled that God called me there and used me there. And I couldn't have done it without support and prayers from my friends and my family and my husband. And I'm so very grateful for him and for my church family. And I just want to ask that you would continue to pray for me, that I would be able to have that I would be able to finish my graduate program, which I start next week again, and pray that God would open up doors for me to go on future DARTs, and continue to pray for the people of New York. They're still healing, and they've got a long ways to go, and they so desperately need Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Miss Terry. That was powerful. Amen. That was a good word. And, man, just the hairs on the back of my neck standing up.
from hearing all that truth and the witness and the testimony and just how God moves in the midst of pain and suffering. And if there's still breath in our lungs and life in our bodies, there's still a chance that we can receive Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. That's the beauty of the gospel. It's never too late. If you have today, you can be saved. Amen. You can receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Thank you, Miss Terry, for that great presentation. If you have a copy of God's Word, let's turn now to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to begin reading here in verse 7, and then I'll take it through verse 9. Now, I know that I've already preached verses 7 and 8. Yeah, that'd be correct if you're thinking, well, Pastor, you've already preached that. But I'm not preaching on that today. I'm just kind of going to set the context, so to speak, and then we will look at verse 9. We will try to get verse 9 in all of its entirety here this morning. So, Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 7, if you found that passage, Matthew 6, verse 7, signified by saying, glory, hallelujah. Yeah, what do you got, brother? Oh, you got to fix the camera. What's going on with it? Oh, it won't behave. Okay, well, if I had one of those, what's that symbol that you see when the TV stations are going off the air? If I had one of those symbols, I'd hold it up right now because we're not quite on the air. All right, very good. You good now? Okay. Well, I'm going to go get a bottle of water now. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. Outstanding. Was the audio okay? So we were still transmitting audio. Okay, very good. All right, so if you're still with me, we are in Matthew chapter 6. Hopefully your video picture is now corrected and looks good and all focused up. Matthew chapter 6, we're going to begin reading here in verse 7, and we'll take it through verse 9. The Word of God reads this, "And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for the many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him." And that kind of sets up the verse that we're looking at this morning. Pray then in this way. See that? Pray then in this way. Our Father who is in heaven. And then notice these four little words. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Let's say that together. Hallowed be your name. You got the King James Version? Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be thy name. Same thing. All right? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for this time of worship today. We thank you for what we heard from Ms. Terry and, Lord, the ministry you've called her to. Lord, as a nurse and just the incredible experience that she got to participate in up in New York, we're thankful for that. The many people that were saved, Lord, we're thankful for that. The many people that received just Christian care and just the love of Jesus, Lord, we're thankful for that. And Lord, as we read our passage this morning, we are thankful for the privilege and the opportunity to come before you and to pray. But Lord, I pray as we begin to unpack and look at and study the Lord's Prayer here this morning, this model prayer, Father God, I pray that we would pick up some things, that Lord, our prayer lives would be more focused, that they would be more honed and more tuned in to how you would have us pray and what you would have us pray. And Lord, we pray in the midst of all of this talk about prayer that we would actually do it and that, Lord, you would be glorified in it and that, Lord, we would be more like Christ because of it. And as we're more like Christ, we're more of a witness and more of a testimony for you each and every day. Ultimately, Lord, you get the glory and the honor that's due your name. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. All right. Well, here we go. Matthew chapter 6. Looking at this passage this morning on the model prayer. The very first phrase of the model prayer, our Father who is in heaven, it speaks about what? You read the word, you hear the word, you see the word in your Bible, our Father who is in heaven. It speaks about our relationship to God. When we truly grasp the fact that God is our Father, that realization will do what? It will create a desire within our hearts to worship and to glorify Him. Now, understandably, appropriate then is the very next phrase, which starts with hallowed. Hallowed, which deals with the idea of reverencing God in our worship and in our walk. Hallowed, an interesting little term here. Hallowed means to render or acknowledge. It means to be separate from profane things. Hallowed means to be dedicated to God. Now this word, hallowed, was also used to refer to things and to people that were considered holy. For example, the vessels of worship in the tabernacle and then later the temple were considered to be hallowed. The Holy of Holies in the tabernacle and later in the temple was a hallowed place. The priests were considered hallowed. The firstborn male, first child, firstborn male, was considered hallowed. Many things in Jewish life were set apart for God and were thus hallowed or separated for Him and for His use. However, when we look at this passage, when we try to study this passage in its context, we're not referring to people, places, and things. This is not a lesson on nouns. No, this is a lesson about who God is and about how we approach Him. We're referring to God Himself when we use the term hallowed. He is said to be a hallowed thing. So, a hallowed God. So, this means that He is separate from sin. He's separate from it and from sinners and the defilement of this world. Psalms chapter 5, verse 4. As Jeremiah hopefully gets that up on your chat there. Psalm 5, 4 reads this. For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness. No evil dwells with you. Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. Revelation 4, 8 says, and the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes around and within, and day and night they do not cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is to come. For instance, God is hallowed, meaning holy and set apart. He's worthy of what? Well, He's worthy of everything. He's worthy of our love. He's worthy of our devotion. He's certainly worthy of our worship. He alone deserves glory. He alone deserves power. He alone deserves honor. Now, I didn't put these verses in, but we've got to look them up. They're too important to not look up this morning. If you'll go to the back of your Bibles, Revelation chapter 4. I just read Revelation 4:8, but let's look at Revelation 4:11. Revelation 4:11. Can't leave this one alone. We've got to look at it. Revelation 4:11. The Word of God reads in Revelation 4:11, worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and because of your will, they existed and were created. Now, go to the next chapter, Revelation chapter 5, verse 11. Verse 12. 5:12, saying with a loud voice, 5:12, Revelation 5:12, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive what? Power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And so when we think about these verses in Revelation, when we think about this reference in Psalm, when we begin to comprehend and pull all this together, that's the message which these four little words here convey in the first phrase of the model prayer. These words of verse 9 are designed to teach the truth that prayer is about reverencing God. Friend, I want to tell you what a message for today. What a message for our culture to reverence God, to reverence Almighty God. I tell you what, it is scary. It is just downright spooky to me sometimes to be in other churches and other places where people claim to be Christian and claim to be saved, and then to experience with them, to be in the same room with these folks, and there's this lackadaisical, there's this casual mindset about who God is and about how to approach God. That's scary stuff, man. If we are blood-bought today, if we are saved today, man, yeah, hey, he's a gracious God. Hey, yeah, he's a merciful God. Hey, yeah, I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. But let me tell you something. He's the God that spoke everything into creation. He's a powerful God. And he's a God we ought to reverence. We ought to reverence him. He spoke everything that you stand on, everything that you see, everything that you can look up at night. He spoke it all into existence by his word. We ought to reverence him. Amen? We ought to reverence him. God is my Father. What does that mean? I can rest in his presence. What does that mean? I can pray in confidence, knowing he will hear and answer my prayers. But because he's hallowed, because he's holy, I'm to come into his presence with a reverential attitude. So with that introduction given to you, I want to share with you, or attempt to share with you this morning, three things about this one verse. Three things about this one verse. Number one, these words speak about God's character. These words speak about God's character. Pray then in this way: Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your name. Speak about God's character. What can we say about the names of God? Because we're talking about his name here, right? Hallowed be your name. What can we say about the names of God? The names of God do this. The names of God revealed in the Word of God reveal his character to us. The names reveal his character. The only way that we can know God's multifaceted, he's not a one-dimensional God, he's a multifaceted God. The only way we can know his multifaceted character is through the many names by which he has revealed himself. He's revealed himself to us in the Old Testament. You study the Old Testament, and he's called this, and boy, you keep going a little bit further, he's called that, you keep going a little bit further, and look out here, here's another facet of God, and you keep going a little bit further, another facet of God, and you keep on trucking, another facet of God, and you keep on going to the Old Testament, you get to this prophet, and then this wisdom literature, and then another prophet, and then a major prophet, and a minor prophet, you look at the history, boom, ba ba boom, another facet, what is he doing, what is he saying to us? He's trying to show all humanity what his character is like. And it's an incredible character. An incredible character. His names revealed in the Old Testament tell us who he is. Meaning what his character is like. Now, he was commonly known by the name Jehovah. Jehovah for us English speakers, Yahweh for the Jews. Jehovah, Yahweh, whatever. You know, if you want to say Yahweh, Jehovah, Jehovah. This name by which he revealed himself to Moses at the burning bush, Mount Sinai, Exodus 3:14. God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has done what? Has sent me to you. Now, there in that passage, Exodus 3:14, we are told God's name means I am that I am. This phrase literally means I will become what I please. I will become what I please. The word translated I am in the Hebrew vernacular is heya, right? Heya. This word has the literal meaning of to exist or become, right? This word speaks of God as self-existent. Who created God? Nobody. He's self-existent. This name speaks of one whose will is supreme. This speaks of a God whose purposes are certain. This speaks of a God whose word is unalterable. I mean, people try to change his word all the time. People try to cut his word out of their lives. They try to snuff his word out in their cultures, this culture and cultures around the world. But you can't change his word. You can't get rid of his word. His word is eternal, unalterable, and always true. Now, this great name took many forms over the years of antiquity past as additional facets, which I've already mentioned to you, additional facets of God's character was revealed to his people. So, I am that I am. We get out of that what? Jehovah. You see it in your English Bible as capital L, three-quarter O-R-D, three-quarter capital O-R-D, not capital L and then lowercase O-R-D. You get it capital L and then almost a capital, three-quarter capital O-R-D. When you see that Lord with a capital L and the three-quarter capital O-R-D, that is the word Jehovah. That is the word Yahweh. So in addition to Jehovah Yahweh, through the Bible, God revealing the different facets of his character, he is known as Jehovah Jireh. In Genesis 22:14, the Lord will see to it. The Lord will provide, Jehovah Jireh. He is known as Jehovah Nissi. Exodus 17:15, the Lord is our banner or our victory. Jehovah Nissi, Exodus 17:15. Jehovah Shalom, Judges 6:24, the Lord is our peace. Jehovah, now, some of these are hard to pronounce, but I'll try. Jehovah starts with a T. Jehovah, it's hard. T-S-I-D-K-E-N-U. Tidiskenu. Jehovah Tidiskenu. You were having trouble with Guggenheim. I'm having trouble with this one. Jehovah Tidiskenu. Jeremiah 23:6. Jeremiah 23:6. The Lord who is our righteousness. Jehovah Rohi. Jehovah Rohi. Psalm 23:1. The Lord my shepherd. You know the 23rd Psalm. Jehovah Rafika. Jehovah Rafika. Exodus 15:26. The Lord our healer. Jehovah Shema, Ezekiel 48:35. Ezekiel 48:35. The Lord is there. Jehovah, another one with that rough T sound. Tisabath. Jehovah Tisabath. Isaiah 37:16. The Lord of hosts or the Lord of battles. He is called Elohim, which means God. He is called Jehovah Elion, which means the Lord Most High. He is called Jehovah Mikdash. Jehovah Mikdash, which means the Lord our sacrificer. He is called El Shaddai, which means the all-sufficient one or the almighty God. He is called Adonai, which means Lord. He is called Father. That's a name which blesses my heart, not to bless your heart. That's a name that's here in our passage. I didn't give you every name, but I gave you a lot of them. I gave you some Wednesday night, but here's a boatload full this morning. He's called by many names. But the greatest of all his names is Jesus Christ. That is the greatest name of all. This is the God who took upon himself human flesh, was born into this world, and died on a cross for sinners, Jesus Christ. His names reveal who he is. His names reveal what he does for his people, which means God's names reveal his character. And so, friend, when we enter his presence in prayer, we are to take the time to worship and honor and praise him for who he is, meaning his character. So, the more you learn about his character, the more you have to praise him for. The more you learn about his character, the more you have to praise him for. Now, your prayer life may be stale. Your prayer life may be a little stagnant. Friend, why is that? Why is your prayer life stale and stagnant? Don't put that on Almighty God. He's given you character, facet. He's given you details about himself that if you would just apply yourself and get in the Word of God and study these names, your prayer life would be so rich. Your prayer life would be so blessed. But it's going to take some work learning this characteristics, these facets of his character. You begin to learn these and get a hold of these and a handle on these, and you'll be looking forward to your prayer life. You will not want to be letting your prayer life go or put your prayer life down. Man, I praised him yesterday for this facet. I'm going to praise him today for this facet. And then next week, I'm going to praise him for this facet next. I'm going to have a praise fest in my prayer time. Amen? So these words speak about God's character. But secondly, these words speak about our choice. We've got a choice in the matter. These words speak about our choice. When we come before the Lord in prayer, we face a choice. We can either focus our prayers first around ourselves, Or we can focus our prayers and our thoughts firstly on Him. Now, hey, in your prayer life, you do eventually need to get to your own needs, cares, and concerns. But when you come to God in prayer, boy, man, you ought to roll up in there in the presence of God with a reverential heart that's ready and willing to put Him first for a time, in your prayer time. The phrase, "Hallowed be your name," expresses a desire on the part of the Christian to bow before the Lord in humble submission and reverence. Well, we don't know much about that word anymore, reverence. There's all this basketball playing going on, and I think they're having it at one of these Disney parks. I'm not quite sure. And I've seen a little bit of the news, and there's more reverence for these off-the-wall movements that people have started up over the last 3 or 4 months. There's more reverence for that. There's more reverence for taking a knee and bowing during the national. There's more reverence for that kind of stuff than there is for the flag, than there is for our country, than there is for our God. It's just, it's mind-blowing. People have a misconception about what they are to reverence and how they are to reverence it. It's crazy to me. It's crazy. Say, "Pastor, you watching any basketball?" No. No, I'm not watching any basketball. No, I saw a little bit of that, and I said, "No, you're not getting my time. I'm not even going to look at that. I don't even want to see that out of the corner of my eye. Just turn that off," right? We're going in a different direction than that. Amen? The right choice expresses a desire to praise and worship before the Lord. This right choice demonstrates a desire on the part of the worshiper to honor and love the Lord God. To hallow His name means that we give Him the first place in our thoughts, the first place in our affections, the first place in our lives. To hallow His name expresses a desire to honor Him by our words and by our lives. To hallow His name expresses a desire that He might be so honored by those who do not know Him, because we're honoring Him so much in our prayer time that prayer time bleeds over into my living time and my walking around people time, and people look at me and say, "Man, there's something different about them." Well, what's so different? We're honoring and reverencing our God, not just in our prayer time. No, now that's transitioned to what? To my living time out there in the public. Now, we can learn about the reverencing of God by looking at Jewish practices in the past. Now, Jesus is really, He's getting in the grill, so to speak. He's getting in the business, so to speak, of these first century scribes and Pharisees and religious folks. But centuries passed in antiquity is what I'm referring to. We learn about the reverencing of God by looking at Jewish practices way in the past. Not the first century, way in the past. The ancient Jews had such reverence for the name of God that they would not pronounce His name. They wouldn't pronounce His name out loud. They created the name. The name, now we know the name Yahweh, and we know the name Jehovah, English speakers, Jehovah, Jewish folks, Yahweh. They created a name, Yahweh. They added another little symbol in there, Yahweh, to be distinguished from Yahweh. So they created the name Yahweh, which literally means Adonai, so they could talk about God without calling His name. Well, Pastor, why? What was the big rub? What was the big deal? They feared that they might use His name in vain and thus be guilty of blasphemy. Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. We're going through these Ten Commandments on Wednesday night. That'd be commandment number 3, right? So the Jewish scribes who were engaged, centuries passed from the first century, these Jewish scribes who were engaged in the practice of copying the Word of God, which would be the Old Testament, the Torah, the law, were so respectful of His hallowed name that they would wash their bodies. They would take a bath. They would get all cleaned up. They'd wash their bodies, and they would change their pens. They'd get a brand new quill before they wrote His name. After they had written His name with a brand new quill, they destroyed that quill so that it could not be profaned by writing a lesser word. So if you were writing, you were copying a section that had a lot of names of God in it, you went through a lot of quills. You took a lot of baths, right? Yeah, that's just what they did. So that's why later, when referring to God, the Jews simply referred to the name, or they would say Yahweh, or simply Adonai. The application is this, church, friends. The application is this. We need to learn the same degree of reverence for the hallowed name of God in our day. Far too many people are guilty of taking His precious name in vain. What I want to tell you today, friend, you need to be careful what you say. You be careful with what you say. God's listening. You need to be careful with what you say. Little ears are listening. You need to be careful with what you say. How many times have we heard or said, gosh, or we've said, oh, God, or oh, my God, or we've said, Jesus, or we've said, oh, Jesus, or we've said, oh, Christ, or we've said, Jesus Christ, or we've said, God Almighty. You say, are these bad things? Not in a worshipful sense, they're not, but boy, you know, we've stumped the toe, or we've lost something we can't find, or somebody cuts us off in traffic. Or we're excited about something and it doesn't have anything to do with worship, doesn't have anything to do with praise. Well, you better be careful with what you say. Christians, believers, people that are blood-bought, headed for the day of redemption, even Christians are guilty of saying things like, oh, Lord, or my God, or good God. And you know, the grand scheme of things, I'm not preaching down to us, the grand scheme of things we've done, we've all blasphemed. We've all done it. But realize, when we do it, when we blaspheme, we are degrading the Lord's name as we treat His name with a casual nature, with a casual attitude that so permeates our culture. When we do that, we don't look like a God follower. We look like the rest of the world in which we're living in. That's what we look like, right? So the question is, do you get the picture? Trying to paint a picture for you. Do you get the picture? His name is to be hallowed. His name is to be treated with respect and reverence. And we must make the personal choice to do that when we pray. Not the man upstairs we're talking to. It's the God Almighty. It's the one who created everything that we see. No one can hallow His name for you. You have to hallow His name yourself. Right? You and I must learn to reverence and respect the holiest of names so that we do not enter disrespectfully into His presence. And so the application is simply this: to come before the throne of grace in a flippant, in a jovial manner is to forget to whom we are speaking. When we pray, we are addressing God Almighty. We are addressing the Creator of the universe. So these words speak about God's character, right? I think we've covered that. These words speak about our choice, right? I think we've covered that. And finally this morning, these words speak about our consistency. Our consistency. That prayer, hallowed be your name, is also a petition for help in living out His holiness in our daily lives. Our greatest desire should be to live before the world in such a manner that they see Jesus revealed in us. Matthew 5:16, not for our benefit, not for our glory, not for our reward, not for our praise, but for His. But for His praise, but for His glory. Matthew 5:16, let your light shine, right? Let your light shine. Our very lives are to hallow His name. Our prayer life ought to hallow His name. Our very lives ought to hallow His name. One theologian said this, and I tend to agree with it. He said this: the only reason God leaves us here after we're saved, the only reason God leaves us here after we are saved is so that we can hallow His name before a lost and dying world, friend. I mean, think that through for a moment. I mean, once you're saved, you're healed. You're complete. You're heaven bound. You're just passing through. Why not just get on over to the other side? Well, God wants to use you as a little bit of advertisement, a little bit of marketing. He wants to point other lost people to the throne of grace and to the blood of Christ and to the cross. He wants to point other people to the gospel. He wants us to live lives that are so clean and so different from those of the world around us that people are drawn to Him for salvation. John chapter 12, verse 32. John 12, 32 says this, "And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." We should be able to write, friend, over every area of our lives. We should be able to write over every area of our lives the inscription, "Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed is your name." And if we cannot write that inscription over every area of our lives, then that area of our life must be changed. It must be tweaked. It must be brought under the subjection of God's will. See? It's just got to be that way. So then all that I do, everywhere that I go, the activities I choose, the habits I form, the music I choose to listen to, the movies I choose to watch, the friends I choose to hang around, what I choose to put in my mind, what I choose to put on my body, what I choose to put in my mouth, what I choose really should speak of my consistent desire and lifestyle to hallow God's name. Now, I understand this may not be a popular message today, but it's right out of the Word of God. It's right out of the Bible. See, when I'm short on consistency, when I'm short on being consistent, in other words, I'm not consistent at all, I can still pray. Oh, I can pray prayers of confession and repentance. Yes, yes, yes. But when I'm short on consistency, I cannot pray like I've truly been designed to pray. I cannot pray like I should pray. My prayer life is hindered. It's hard for me to get out of the blocks and run that race of prayer when I'm still dealing with all my sinful junk, right? And praise God, we can bring that junk sinful to Him, amen, and lay it at the foot of the cross. But friend, the more consistency in my life of hallowing His name with my life, with my character, for His glory, letting my light shine. Oh, friend, let me tell you something. Then that turns on a different dynamic. That opens up another door of my prayer life and your prayer life and our prayer life. See, when I cannot hallow His name in my life, then my witness is hindered. My prayer life is hindered, but also my witness. See, when believers walk in disobedience to the will of God, you know what they're really guilty of? And I said we all did it. I said we all did it. So Pastor Steve's done it, you've done it, we've all done it. When believers walk in disobedience to the will of God, we're guilty. We're guilty of taking His name in vain. Oh, well, I didn't take His name in vain. I didn't say it. No, you're living it, friend. Or you're not living it, right? You're living in disobedience, which ultimately you're doing what? You're taking His name in vain. So hallowed be your name is what? It is a prayer for God to be glorified by all that I am in all that I do. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." Beautiful verse, 1 Corinthians 10:31. Closing it down, what can we say? Tying it all together, what can we say? Putting a bow on it today. What can we say? God's name is already holy. It's already a holy name. We cannot make His name any more holy than it already is. The only way we can hallow His name is through our lives. As we live, followed by the prayers we pray. And you're thinking about all this today. This is hitting your heart, and the Holy Spirit is working you today. And you may not be living where you need to be living in consistency. And you may not be praying like you need to be praying in a reverential attitude. And friend, I'm here to tell you, let me be the first one to tell you, you're still a friend of God. There's still God's grace available for you. Mercy is ready to be received. Forgiveness, He's ready to extend it. All of these things are available to you right now if you will reach out in prayer to God, seeking His forgiveness, resting in your salvation, and getting back to the peace of your relationship with Him. There's nothing like being in the middle of God's will, experiencing the peace of your salvation, and going reverentially to the throne of grace. There's just nothing like that in the world. You can't put a figure, you can't put a dollar figure on that. You can't put an adjective on that. There's just nothing like that in the world. Obedience, you're not perfect, but you're walking in obedience with the Lord. You're going reverentially to the throne of grace, and you're experiencing the peace of your salvation. There's nothing like that in the world. You can't get counseling for that. You can't get drugs for that. It's otherworldly. It's just the Holy Spirit. It's a God thing. You got to know God to experience it. And I can't tell you what it's like. You just have to live it and experience it firsthand. And then you'll go, hey, I know what you're talking about. That's amazing. It's amazing, isn't it? Yeah. Amen? And then once you make things right, once you do what? Once you seek to live this prayer, once you pray this prayer in reverence and respect, and the honor that is due His name is given, that's icing on the cake. That's the strawberry on the shake, right? That's just the bonus, right? To know that He gets the glory and your design purpose has been fulfilled and you've been obedient. You say, well, preacher, man, I'm not obedient. Preacher, you just don't know I'm struggling. And we've all been there, friend. What you need to think about right now, prayers of confession, prayers of repentance, and getting back to square. Getting back to square. Getting back to one. Getting back to base. Getting back to home. Getting back where you can start afresh and go again. He'll get you there. You just got to lean on into it, friend. Lean on into it. Seek His forgiveness, His grace, His mercy. You'll get it. He'll give it. And you'll be better for it. Amen? Words to think about, and definitely words to pray. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll be dismissed. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning. We thank You again for the reading of Your Word. We thank You again for this day. We thank You again for the praise and the worship, Lord. We thank You again for all that You do for us, for how You bless and provide. Lord, we just pray now that You take Your word and it would be applied to our hearts. And Lord, we would be more reverential in our prayer time. We would be more firstly focused on You when we come to You in prayer. And Lord, we would seek to rattle the bars of heaven. But not just for our needs, but for others' needs. Lord, as we think about those that are dying around us from COVID-19, those that are hospitalized, as we think about those first responders and those doctors and nurses, Lord, that are so overburdened right now, Lord, may we get our minds on others' needs. And then, Lord, as we've made intercession for that, may we then come back after we've praised You, after we've sought forgiveness of sin and confessed and repented, after we've interceded on behalf of others, then might we come back to our needs. Lord, thank You that we can pray. Thank You for the great privilege of it. And Lord, as we mentioned earlier, this may be the day of salvation for someone. We pray, Lord, if someone's struggling with their faith, struggling with what it means to be a Christian, Lord, I pray that they'd hit that search button, they'd go to that Google, Lord, they'd type in that Billy Graham Association, they'd type in Samaritan's Purse or Franklin Graham, Lord, they'd type in something like that, or they'd text this pastor. And Lord, before the hour's out, before the day's out, they would have a sense in their heart that they know beyond a shadow of a doubt what it means to receive Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And then the doubt will be gone, and Lord, they'll be saved, and they'll be heaven bound. Lord, if there's those out there struggling with their faith, thank You that You still save. Thank You that the gospel is true. Thank You, Lord, that we can be a part of it. What a privilege and honor and a blessing it is. Lord, be with those that need to make decisions. Lord, be with those that need to change. Lord, be with those that are struggling. We pray a special prayer for them. Lord, thank you most of all for Jesus and his shed blood that covers our sin. Lord, may we never forget that when we go to you in prayer. May we always continually thank you for the blood of Christ. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Thank you all for being here this morning. If you were visiting with us online, we're thankful for your online participation with us. And we'll be opening back up for in-person services. Today's the 23rd. We've got one more live stream-only service. That will be the 30th. And then the first Sunday in September, I want to say is the 6th. First Sunday is the 6th in September. We will be back in person and live streaming. So if you're not quite ready to come back, you can catch it on live stream. If you're ready to come back, we encourage you to wear a mask, mask up, practice social distancing and all that stuff. And you just jump right back in here with us. We got the pews marked every other, so we're trying to build in some spacing and some social distancing, and it'll be good and great. So you come on back. On next Sunday, the 30th, Brother Ronnie Vaculik will be here, and he will be handing out Sunday school literature for the new quarter. And then on, is that the 6th he's handing that out? I'm sorry, Brother Ronnie, I'm getting confused on my dates. Maybe the 6th, the first Sunday back, Brother Ronnie's going to hand out the Sunday school literature. Not next Sunday, but the 6th, he's going to hand out Sunday school literature. And then the 13th, there will be a Sunday school class starting. It will be a one class. It will be meeting in a large room, and there will be social distancing for all, and hopefully that will all come together and work. So the 6th, literature is going back out. The 13th, Sunday school begins again. And so we invite you to think about those opportunities and those dates. And come on out. Be a part. Amen. Come praise God in person. Praise God on the live stream. Whatever the Lord will lead you to do, you've got to make your own personal decisions about all that. But you will have the opportunity to come back to the sanctuary on September the 6th and start Sunday school on September the 13th. Amen. I think I covered the bases. Y'all have a great afternoon. We'll see you back here on Wednesday at 7 o'clock for Bible study and prayer time. Y'all take care. Love you. Bye-bye.